The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. After feeding more than 5,000 people in the wilderness, Jesus teaches them regarding the true significance of this remarkable sign. I begin reading at verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon.
There are some more coming. Good. Good morning. Guess what? This is the day the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. That's what it says in the Bible. Do you like to get presents? Maybe for your Christmas or your birthday? Who likes to get a present? I bet some more of you do. Good. What do you do with that present? Do you sit and look at it, or what do you want to do? Open it, don't you? Open it and see what's inside. So, I have a little present here this morning. Look at the pretty paper and the purple bow. Do you like purple?
Yes.
Yes. What are the little things on the paper?
Butterflies. No.
Butterflies, that's right. God made those butterflies. So, what if we just sit here and talk about this present, the pretty paper and the purple bow? How would that be? We don't open it. We just set it there and everybody look at it. That wouldn't be right, would it? You know, God gave us a present a long time ago, a wonderful gift. It wasn't wrapped in pretty paper with a bow. You know what that gift was? It was Jesus. God gave his only son to save us from our sins so that we could go to heaven someday and be with him forever and ever. Now that's really a good present, isn't it? Yeah. And Jesus cares about everybody, all of us, all the people out here, even people that aren't in church. He cares about everybody. There's a place in the Bible that tells us about a woman that she came and Jesus spoke to her. He had never seen her before, but he told her everything that she had ever done. And she was surprised. She went back and she said, "Guess what? There's a man that's told me everything I ever did. How did he know? Could that be maybe Jesus?" And she went back, and then it says in the Bible, a lot of people believed on her, on Jesus, because of what the woman said. That's why it's important for us to learn God's word, so we can tell others. Our parents teach us, we bring us to Sunday school and church, to learn Bible stories and sing songs about Jesus' love. You know, if we don't hear God's word or learn how much he loves us, it's just as though we never opened the gift God gave us, the gift of his son. We wouldn't know what's inside, and we would miss something very, very good. Now, shall we open this little present and see what's inside of here? Or should we just keep looking at it and thinking how pretty the paper is? You think we should open it, huh? Okay, let's see what's inside of here. What do you think it's going to be? We just have to tear that paper off. Oh, it's a box. You like that box? Let's see what's in the box. You have to open presents to know what's inside, don't you? Well, there's some paper inside. Is that what it is? Oh, there's something else inside. Something for everybody. You can have one of these, a snack pack. That's what was in this little package. I think I have enough for everybody. Sure enough. Okay. Uh-oh. Now, we had to open the present to see what was in there, didn't we? Now, let's say a little prayer together. Dear Jesus, help us to love one another and share the good news of Jesus saving us. Amen. And thank y'all for coming up and helping me with this story.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Words are an important part of our life. I mean, just stop and think about it for a minute. Words are our main form of communication in one way or the other. With words that we speak or words that we write, we convey our thoughts through our words. If we didn't have any words, nobody else would know what we're thinking or any kind of ideas that we might have. Words help us in relationships so that we can communicate back and forth with each other to know what's going on. There's words that raise people up, that make people feel good. Words like, I love you, or that's great what you're doing, or I really appreciate what you've done for me, or thank you for that great gift that you have given. We use words to help lift people up and to express our joy in that relationship that we're in. But there's also words that drag people down, words that hurt or kill even. Words like, I hate you. Words that say, you're not good for anything. Words that say, you are worthless. I don't want to be around you anymore. We speak words that lift people up. We also speak words that tear people down. In our gospel lesson for this morning, there are words in here, words that actually kill, words that drag people down. There's words in our gospel lesson that heal people, and there's words here that also bring life. First, the words that kill. We see in this story that the Jewish leaders are complaining. They're trying to drag Jesus down. They're complaining about Jesus. They're saying, how can he say, I have come down from heaven? We know his mom and his dad. We know where he comes from. He doesn't come from heaven. He comes from Nazareth. How can he say he has come down from heaven? I think what's going on here is the religious leaders are jealous of Jesus. The day before this gospel lesson takes place, the story is Jesus feeding the 5,000. And he had crowds coming around here to be healed, to to hear what he had to say, to be taught by Jesus, and the people were starting to flock to Jesus. Well, I think the religious leaders were getting jealous because it was the religious leaders who were supposed to be the important people in the community. They were the educated ones. They were the leaders. They were the ones who knew the way to God. And here comes this upstart along, and he has no credentials. And all of a sudden, all these people start gathering around him. And I think these religious leaders are jealous. So what's the best way for them to be important again? Or the way that they go about doing it is they start using these words to kill, to drag Jesus down. They start to complain. They start to murmur about Jesus, trying to knock him down. We too use words to kill. Many of us don't like to be in the midst of conflict. And when somebody does us wrong or something's not happening in the right way, we don't address the issue. We don't directly go to that issue and address it. No, what do? We start to complain. We start to grumble. We mumble. We start to talk behind people's backs. We try to knock the other person down. Now, when we knock other people down, who wins? Certainly not the people that we knock down or we ruin their reputation with, because they're brought low. And not us either. We also lose. I mean, look at this gospel lesson here. The religious leaders are not looked at in a good light. There's something wrong here. They're trying to knock Jesus down. They're not seen as doing a good thing, or the best thing, or the thing that God wants them to do. Nobody wins when we use killing words. We lose, and also the person or people that we're directing those words to, they also lose. Killing words simply kill. They kill everything. They kill us. They kill the other people. They kill relationships. But there's also words that heal here in this gospel lesson. Particularly verse 51 here, it says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And focusing on those words, came down from heaven. We use the killing words. We're guilty of doing that. We have a mess in this world, and there's no way that we could fix it. And so the healing part comes when Jesus comes down. And we know that story of Christmas or the Nativity, where God has taken on humanity as he was born as a human being there in Bethlehem. But Jesus gave up everything to come down to this earth. He gave up his majesty. He gave up his glory. He emptied himself in order to take on humanity, to be one of us, to relate to one of us, to know what it's like to live here in this troubled world. But he did that in order to heal us. He came into that situation. He came into our situation in order to heal us. One of the things that Jesus is very good at in fixing things, of healing, of restoring, of bringing those words of restoration back to people. And here in this gospel lesson, here the religious leaders were grumbling. They were complaining about Jesus. They were mumbling. They were gossiping. What did Jesus do? He didn't lash out at them. He didn't fuss at them. Rather, instead, he used that as an opportunity to teach. He used that as an opportunity to raise everybody up, because he started to talk about the living bread that comes down from heaven, about the living bread that restores life, health, healing back to people. And there's also words of life, and that carries right into this. Words of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And Jesus brings about some examples here of how he brings the life about. When the Jews in that day and time heard the phrase, bread of life, their first thought, more than likely, was going back to that story of Moses in the wilderness, where he was leading the people to the promised land. And if you remember in that story, there wasn't much food. And the people started to get hungry. They started to complain. They were saying, It's better that we were slaves in Egypt. We had food to eat there. Here we're hungry. We're going to starve to death. And so what's God do? He sends bread from heaven. He sends manna. And so when the people hear this phrase, bread from heaven, they're thinking of that story. They're thinking of manna. And Jesus uses the same terminology for himself, that he is the bread of heaven. And he gives that analogy of the people in the wilderness. They ate that manna and they were sustained. And the Hebrew people were able to make it into the promised land because they were sustained on that bread from heaven. But eventually those same people did die. It sustained them in this life. It gave them the nutrition that they needed to live and to move and to travel and to work and to do all the things they needed to do. But eventually death still took them. Jesus says, I am the true living bread from heaven. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again, nor will they be hungry. He is the true living bread from heaven. He brings life. And God gives us everything we do need in this world. Again, going back one day from this story in the gospel is that story of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus feeds all of those people. Their bellies are full. And at the beginning of this day, then, when our gospel lesson takes place, they're all coming back looking for him once again. And it's brought up then, I know why you're looking for me, Jesus says. It's because your bellies are now empty again. And that's when it leads into this discussion, when he says, I am the bread from heaven. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus will fill them up with more than just the things that need to sustain life here on this earth. He fills them up with life itself. Life that will never end. When we eat of this earth, when we eat the things of this earth, eventually we do die. But when we partake of Jesus Christ, we live forever. Jesus gives us hope in this life right now, because tragedies do strike in our life. Bad things do happen to us, but knowing that that's not the end of us, that even though it may kill us here on this earth, that's not the end of us. And that gives us hope that we're able to tackle any kind of situation that we face here on this earth. But it also goes on beyond that, giving us the promise that we will live forever with Christ. Christ gives that promise that he is the living bread, that one day we too will share in that feast which has no end. Christ has come down from heaven. The living bread has come down from heaven to feed us. We will never hunger again, nor will we ever thirst. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.